This morning we're concluding our Lessons from the Road series with an encounter of Jesus and an individual in the midst of a crowd on the road. We're concluding with a message I've entitled A Road of Life. In fact, that's kind of been the theme through all of these encounters of Jesus on the road, because wherever he went, his goal, his desire was to bring life to people. And in this particular encounter in Luke 19, the conclusion of the encounter is Jesus declaring that he has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That salvation had been brought to this specific household because of this encounter, because of Jesus on the road with a man named Zacchaeus. A story that we often teach our children, probably one of the more common children's stories, because it involves, well, you know the old song, a wee little man. Somehow we decide that the children can identify with that. A wee little man that not only desires to encounter Jesus, but climbs a tree. I'm like, wow, that's something we can identify. I remember as a kid and growing up on the farm, we had a large woods, and I spent as much time in the trees as I did on the ground sometimes, it felt like. But what does it look like? Why does God include this story for us? I think we always ought to remind ourselves on a somewhat regular basis that these stories are not just stories. There's a reason. In fact, God says that all Scripture, everything in here, is useful. It's beneficial. It's for our good. For teaching, for correcting, for rebuking, for training in all righteousness. And so every time we gaze into God's Word, when we consider the stories of His Word, we ought to ask ourselves, what is this trying to teach me? How is this trying to correct me? What rebuke might I need to hear from this? What training is supposed to be taking place? I want us to look at four different things on this road of life that Zacchaeus encountered Jesus on, that I believe God wants us to experience as we encounter Jesus on the road of life that we're walking. And the first thing I want us to consider as we walk this road of life today is this road of life is a road of looking. And I ask the question, what is it that you're looking for? Years ago, when I was dean of a fifth and sixth grade camp week, I would generally have Lee Bracey from Woodburn Christian Children's Home come and be the missionary for the week and speak to the campers. And one of the lessons he would do at the beginning of each week was to challenge the campers to consider what they wanted out of camp. And he would tell them, whatever you came to camp looking for, you're likely to find. And he would talk about some of the things that campers might look for, some of the things that we might look for in life. He says, if you came looking for trouble, you'll find it. If you came looking for friendship, you'll find it. If you've came looking to grow in your relationship with God, you'll find it. But most of those things, unless we're looking for them, we won't find it. And as Luke chapter 19 opens, we discover that Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus. Sometimes we read the story, we hear the story, we sing the children's song, and we think, why Zacchaeus out of everybody? The road was lined with people. The crowds were present. Why Zacchaeus? I believe it's because Zacchaeus was walking this road of looking. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. And so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. On this road of looking, if you want to experience Jesus in your life, your decision has to be, nothing will stop me. Satan, the enemy, wants to distract you. He wants to keep you from pursuing a growing relationship with Jesus. And he'll put up all kinds of barriers. It's too hot, it's too cold, it's too warm, it's too comfortable, it's too whatever. Well, you've got too much to do. You're too busy. And I'm sure you have your own list of things that you have experienced in your life that have been reasons, maybe excuses, but at the best scenario, they've been reasons why you've not spent time in God's Word like you want to. Why you've not spent time fellowshipping with other believers like you want to. And some of those reasons are the fact that the enemy tries to keep us from looking because he knows that when we look, we'll find. In fact, God says, he told his people throughout the entire Old Testament, you'll see it repeated time and time again. He says, from wherever you're at, it doesn't matter how far you've drifted away from God. It doesn't matter how close you are to God. From wherever you're at, he says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with a whole heart. And this road of life begins when we walk this road of looking for God. When our heart's desire, our whole heart, is to know God and to be known by Him. Zacchaeus could have easily hidden in the crowd as this wee little man that he was. But he wasn't satisfied to just be a part of the crowd, to just kind of peer between people and get a glimpse of Jesus. You know, he could stand in the back and hear what Jesus would say. But he wanted with his whole heart to meet him. And so he takes action. And so as we walk this road of life, we look for Jesus and we do the things that draw us near to Him. We read His Word, we pray, we have conversations with other believers, and we grow in the life that God has given us. And the great thing about walking this road of looking for Jesus is this road leads us to a road of invitation. Now, sometimes we begin to think that this invitation is from us to God. You may have heard it put that way. There will be those that say, you need to invite Jesus into your heart. You need to invite Jesus to be a part of your life. But that's not what happened on this road to life. In fact, the invitation is the other way. It's not Jesus that is lost. It's not Jesus that is out there needing to be found. When he says he came to seek and save that which was lost, he's talking about us. We need to be found. We continue picking up in Luke 19, verse 5. When Jesus reached that spot, the spot where Zacchaeus had climbed up into the sycamore tree, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Wait a minute. Can you imagine a parade coming through town? All of the local officials and state officials and governing officials and everybody that thinks they're important is in this parade wanting to be seen by the voters. And all of a sudden, the parade stops and the most important official in the entire thing looks directly at you and says, "Hey, I'm coming to your house." Wait a minute, who asked you? I haven't had time to clean my house. I haven't fixed anything to eat. Who do you think you are inviting yourself to my house? And yet that's what Jesus does. As we walk this road of life, as we look for Jesus, it's not us inviting him in, it's him inviting us into his presence. He says, "I want to dwell with you, I want to dwell within you." And we live life acknowledging Jesus, the Son of God, the Creator of all things, wants you. He wanted Zacchaeus. He says, "I'm coming to your house." He's fulfilling the promise that God had made. "Zacchaeus, you've looked for me with your whole heart. You've looked for me with effort. You've looked for me with intentionality. And so I'm inviting myself to respond to what you're looking for." This road of life is a road of invitation where Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus invites us to be cleansed, to have our sins washed away. He says, "To all who would come, I will in no way cast out." This road of life says God wants you. And because he wants you to have life and life more abundantly, life to the full. Which means it's a life that doesn't stop when this body stops. That's an ordinary, everyday, everybody life. The life abundant is a life that it accepts the invitation of Jesus to be a part of our life. We've all heard the excuses because we've all probably made the excuses. But Jesus, on this road of life, would look at us in whatever tree that we've climbed and says, "I want to come to your workplace. I want to come to your home. I want to come to your neighborhood. I want to come to your school. I want to be present." Now, we know God's present everywhere. He wants us to acknowledge his presence. And we respond not by inviting Jesus in. We respond by accepting his invitation to come and to be filled. This road of life is a road of looking. It's a road of invitation. It's also a road of fellowship. God loves you. He invites you into his presence and into his dwelling. but it's not just you. You're special, but not that special. It's a road of life that invites us to fellowship with one another, recognizing we've all been invited by the same King, by the same Savior, by the same Lord. Luke 19, verse 6. And so he, that is Zacchaeus, came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all of the people saw this and says, "Wow, what a party, let's go." Oh, wait, that's not what they said. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. I can't believe he would hang out with that guy. I can't believe he would go to that house. I can't believe he didn't come to my house." Oh, Zacchaeus looked for Jesus. He accepted the invitation of Jesus to come to his house. And he had a party. He had fellowship with Jesus. He had fellowship with others who recognized and understood that they were valued, that life was meant for them as well. When we look for Jesus, when we accept his invitation, we grow in fellowship with one another because we recognize that we're all kneeling on level ground at the foot of the cross. It's when we raise ourselves up and begin to look down our nose at others and we begin to mutter as the crowd did, that all of a sudden we've placed ourselves on the outside. The crowd wasn't being rejected. The crowd wasn't being ignored by Jesus. The reverse was true. They had drawn the lines of who was acceptable and who was not. And if Zacchaeus was acceptable to Jesus, then they wanted no part of it. And it isn't long after this that Jesus will be crucified to pay the penalty, to pay the price, so that you and I, that all of the Zacchaeuses of this world can have life. And when we have life, we have fellowship one with another. We realize that every person in this room, every person joining us online, have sinned. We deserve the same punishment. We receive the same life when we receive it through Christ. And so we fellowship together as one body, with one head, that is Jesus. And we live and we walk a road of fellowship. And we seek to be more like Christ. This road of life is not just a road of looking. It's not just a road of being invited by Jesus to join him. It's not just a road of fellowship. But all of that ought to bring us to a road of expression. It's not something we're doing in secret. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but I don't talk about that here because It's just what I do personally. If we encounter Jesus on the road of life, if we've looked for him with a whole heart, if we've responded to his invitation to come join us, if we walk in fellowship with him and with one another, it ought to be an evident transformation in our life that cannot be hidden. Jesus says that no one lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl. He says, we light our lamp and we set it on a stand so that it can be seen, so that it can provide light to all who would enter. And he tells us that, and then he turns around and says, oh, by the way, you are the light of the world. That, to me, is one of the most challenging verses in the Bible. I get Jesus being the light of the world. That makes sense to me. But he's not here today except through you and me, and through his Spirit, and through his Word. And so when we walk together in fellowship with his Spirit and his Word, we are the light of the world that needs to be seen more brightly than it probably being seen at the moment. Zacchaeus' expression wasn't a response to law. It wasn't a response to command. It was a response to love. Verses 8 to the end of through 10 of Luke 19. As the crowds are muttering, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Remember earlier when we introduced Zacchaeus in the first couple verses? Zacchaeus was a wealthy man. And his expression of love to God was, right now, I'm giving half of everything I have to the poor. Right now, I'm helping someone that needs help. Right now, I'm examining my life to see how I've treated other people in the past. Tax collectors did not have a good reputation then any more than they do now. Typically, the phrase that they were lumped together with was tax collectors and sinners. The general idea was the tax collectors were required by Rome to collect a certain amount of tax that had to be given to Rome. And the way the tax collectors, quote, earned a living, they would collect more. And whatever they could collect above and beyond what Rome wanted was theirs to keep. And so they would often get wealthy by cheating people, by taking advantage of people, by literally stealing from people. And Zacchaeus' expression of his love for God, his road of life was, I've been living wrong. Not only can I not continue this, I need to go back and make amends. I need people to see that this walk of life is not just a fad. It's not just something I've put on for a time to make myself look better. It's real. We probably have all read of people or know of people that have been in huge trouble and have decided that an encounter with Jesus would get them out of that trouble. And yet we never see change in a life. Sometimes we read of jailhouse conversions, and I believe many of them are legitimate, that people look for God in the depths of where they're at, and they find him. But I've also read of specific people that have used that looking for God story to get early release, and they haven't changed a bit. But rather than look at them, how about we look at me? We look at us. How is my expression of faith, my expression of love, showing others that there has been a real transformation of Jesus being living and active in my life? Do I consider not only how I'm treating people now, but do I consider how I treated people in the past? Do I say, God, help me to make things right to the best of my ability? This road of life is a road that expresses a changed life. It's a road that's different. It's a road that's more concerned with, well, it's more concerned with that beautiful Isle of Somewhere that we're on our way to than it is about today. We don't ignore today. But we live today with our eyes fixed on eternity. And we ask ourselves, what is my expression of faith doing for somebody else? Are people more likely to walk this road of life to look, to respond to the invitation of Jesus to fellowship with one another because of my expression? Or are they less likely? We walk this road of life, and God's purpose for us, His desire for us, is that the world would see Him. And they would look. And they would be invited. And they would fellowship. And they would express their faith, and this whole thing just keeps going. And it keeps growing. The Bible says the church grew in that first century. Not because the disciples or the apostles were so well trained, not because they were so well educated, not because they were so eloquent, but it grew because they loved one another. They cared for one another. And the crowds and those that were lost would look at them, and they were amazed. They would ask, how can this happen? And the response of the religious leaders is, we don't know. We just know these people, they've been with Jesus. And when you walk that road of life in today's world, when you live pursuing Jesus with a whole heart, when you welcome His invitation to dwell within you by His Spirit, when you fellowship with one another and you express that fellowship through care and concern and compassion, the people that know you the best ought to be able to say, wow, I don't know what happened, but I know you've been with Jesus. And the people that know you as acquaintances can say, wow, I don't know what happened, but you've evidently been with Jesus. And it's when we live that kind of life, this road of life, we encounter Jesus, and he transforms us in a way that we get to be involved in transforming the world. By your fruit, by your actions, you will represent Jesus. Jesus says that even a child is known by their actions, whether good or bad. The life that we have in Christ is a life that's meant to be shared. And my prayer for you today is that you walk this road of life and that others find it and walk upon it because they've seen your example and they've heard your example. As we come to a time of decision today, the question for all of us . What am I looking for? Are you looking for life? You'll find it when you look with a whole heart. When you find the invitation of Jesus calling you, asking, "Can I come in? Can I come to your house? Can I dwell with you?" Walking in fellowship, realizing the invitation is not just for you, it's for all. If you're here this morning and maybe you've not heard that invitation, or you've heard the invitation expressed and you've not responded to it, it's not my invitation, it's the invitation of Jesus. I'd love to talk with you about that. A few moments, we're going to sing a song of decision, and you're able to join me in the room to my left, and we can begin that conversation about responding to Jesus wanting to come in, wanting to be in charge, wanting to love you. But as I say each week, most of the time we gather, most people gather because they've responded to the invitation of Jesus. They've invited him at his request into their home, into their life, into their being. And yet we still have to decide every day, what will I do today that represents Jesus? How will I express my faith in a way that's meaningful, in a way that's desirable by those that are watching, in a way that's true? If you're here this morning and you just need someone to pray with you, you're welcome to join me in the room to my left as well, and we'll pray together. You're always welcome to find somebody near you and say, "Hey, would you pray with me?" You can pray where you're at. You can go into another room. You can agree to meet after the service and pray together. You can call up one another throughout the week and pray together. That's always great things to do. But know, on this road of life, you're walking with Jesus, and he's walking with you. Would you stand as we sing?